Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over. What went right and what went wrong? It's time for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Experience it your way. Visit lakeland.edu. Let's get to your hosts of the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Tommy Wirtz, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Fake the toss. Parsons is coming, and he's got his second sack of this third quarter. This guy gets double-teamed more than anybody and still gets to the quarterback more than anybody.
He gets triple-teamed more than anybody as well in the game. Don't forget to mention that. Joe Davis and Greg Olson on the call. Fox with the highlight, courtesy of Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen in today on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Packers win 23-6. Dial it up, 414-677-1250. That is the Nicolay Law Talk and Text Line if you want to be a part of the show. Wow. I mean, you know me on this show. If you're listening every week, I can get pretty negative. I watched that game, and that was the most smiley I feel like I was watching Packer football all season long. Fantastic stuff from the Green Bay Packers on defense. They ran the football efficiently. Emmanuel Wilson, man, that guy, he is that guy. He can come in whenever you need him to and be that guy. No Josh Jacobs, no Matthew Golden, no problem. 23-6 Green Bay over the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, and by the way, the Vikings look like garbage.
Yeah,
like,
real bad.
They do look terrible. I do think it is a mix of how good Green Bay looked today and how awful the Minnesota Vikings look right now. JJ McCarthy, you should change your number, because 9, the alter ego, not working out. It looks like right there. Jordan Love, not too much asked out of him in this victory, but the defense, they come up extremely clutch in this game. You heard the highlight at the top of Micah Parsons getting home. Well, you know what else they were able to do today? They caused a couple of turnovers at the back end of this one.
McCarthy down the seam and too tall and picked off. Second interception for the Packers the last two drives. Evan Williams, second week in a row, he's got one.
And then immediately after, entire defense, let's run out. Let's run over to the fans. Start. Ah! You like that? Look at those skulls. Yeah, awesome. Right. That was great. That was A1 trolling from the Green Bay Packers. I was so impressed. There was a couple of moments, all right, that we've had. Remember, make a note. When you're mad, make a note. Remember, they continue to run out of shotgun on third and short. I don't know why they do that. But the offense looked way more comfortable than it has in previous weeks, and they didn't have to score 27 points to do it either, Charles.
No, not at all. It felt like this Packers team went out there with just a set game plan for the bare bones roster that kind of felt like they had at points. You know, with Emmanuel Wilson out there, you don't feel as comfortable without a Josh Jacobs. With all these other kind of situational injuries that you're dealing with just on the offensive line consistently with this team, it felt like you kind of had to go back to the basics and find ways to fit everybody back into what your game plan was, and they did that this game. And I think also on the defensive side of the ball, when we talk about Evan Williams picking J.J. McCarthy off at the end there, that was J.J. McCarthy making a bad mistake. That was a well-drawn-up play by O'Connell. If he had thrown the ball well, that would have been 20 yards right up the middle between the two safeties. And Evan Williams made him pay for the mistake. That's what this Packers team needs to do, again, more consistently moving forward, and they did it in this game for four quarters.
Yeah, and their pass rush, it struck some fear into Minnesota, which fear is very valuable when it is a brand-new quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, right? I think it was his sixth career game now after this. When you instill that fear, Micah Parsons able to get home, Devontae Wyatt, huge day, Rashawn Gary to be able to get home on that interception. I know this team loves Quay Walker, and I love Quay Walker, but did anyone else think when McDuffie caught it, did anyone else say, wow, Quay would have dropped that one? He always drops the pick, and McDuffie is in the right place at the right time. I love this game for Green Bay. It looked awesome on paper, and then they executed on the football field as well. And Emmanuel Wilson, still the story of the day for sure. His ability gets over 100 rushing yards. He is the first Packer to eclipse 100 rushing yards. Jacobs has had scrimmage yards over 100 in a game. But first time they get to 100 rushing yards. Charlie, I know the 3.8 yards per carry doesn't seem like it jumps off the page. But that also, I think, should show you that it was more Emmanuel Wilson than it was the offensive line today, because eye test gave way more than 3.8 yards a carry. That guy, like you were saying, he just runs hard, man.
I mean, I have to look up his yards after contact here in a second, but I think that's going to be more telling about this game that Emmanuel Wilson had versus his actual just yards per carry in this one. Again, like I said before, this offensive line, it felt like 3 to 4 guys were doing their job during each play, and then 1 to 2 guys was just messing up, and it was not working out for Emmanuel Wilson when he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage every single time for him to go out there and have to make something happen. I think with a player like Josh Jacobs coming back into this lineup who's been injured multiple times so far this season, this is the second time we've had to see him kind of miss a little bit of time with this team. It kind of feels like they have to start figuring out the offensive line sooner rather than later, because you can't always rely on Emmanuel Wilson to get 28 carries a game and be this fresh like he is. Josh Jacobs isn't going to be that fresh. You're going to get him hurt again if he keeps getting hit at the line of scrimmage. This is a situation where I loved what I saw from Wilson today. I think he played phenomenally, but then there's also still issues with the run game that we've been seeing for a majority of this season.
Yeah, the Packers offense, they put up 288 total yards. Like, it wasn't like they were carving Minnesota.
If you're not playing J.J. McCarthy in the Vikings offense, I mean, that's a lot more of a struggle of a game.
Yeah, well, I also think that for once, something went in the favor of Green Bay on special teams.
Price will have it bounce over his head inside the 10, and it hits off him. It's free. Who's got it? Oh, mistake you cannot make. What in the world was he doing? Packers say they have it. Vikings say, no, we do. Let's get the verdict. The ball's probably changed hands 7 times at the bottom of that pile. It's Packers football.
Again, highlights courtesy of Fox 6 here. I watched that play, and I could not believe how perfectly timed that was for Green Bay. And then they capitalize with the second rushing touchdown for Emmanuel Wilson in the ballgame right after. But that play, Green Bay, you know, they made all their kicks today. Extra points wasn't a problem. Danny Whalen is maybe the best punter I've ever seen for a Green Bay Packer, and they get lucky on that one. What is Miles Price doing on that play, Charlie? I mean, what are you doing?
We saw it come up on the TV on Red Zone, and Tommy immediately went, oh, no, why is a Packers special teams play on the Red Zone? Why is it return on the one Red Zone? Because it's 99% of the time a problem. And then this time, it wasn't. I don't know what he was thinking at all throughout that play. That was just a really just dumb play that, again, the Packers took advantage of in this game. That's another aspect of this game outside of the offense and the defense, seeing the special teams be consistent for once. McManus was hitting his kicks. They weren't forcing him to kick outside of his strength right now. It just felt like everything was going right in all three facets of this game, and that's just indicative of it.
Yeah, and everything being right doesn't mean that everything has to be perfect in my mind. I think that the offense, yeah, there was definitely some moments like when they would get a three and out and then you come back and you don't really do anything. They were stuck at 17-6, it felt like, or was it 16-6? I can't remember. I think it was a 10-point game. But regardless, they were stuck at that like 17-6 mark a little bit when they had some opportunities to go out, get that 17-point lead, go make it three possessions, and that would really help you out. And they seemed like they were stuck at that point just a little bit in the game on offense, but they ended up finding a way on the defensive side to really help out, and that's the way this team is meant to be. The defense is the best part. The defense is the identity. The defense is the team, the part, the whatever facet of the game that this team needs to rely on. And they showed up. They showed out. A fantastic day. Nicolay Law talking text line 414-677-1250. Trell on the north side of Milwaukee. What's up, Trell?
Hey, what's going on with you guys, man?
I'm in a good mood for a change on this show, Trell. I'm feeling pretty good today.
I am too. It's just one thing, I'm trying not to really harp on it because we did win, and that's all I asked for was a win. But it just seems like our football coach, he plays not to lose the game.
Okay.
Instead of to win the game. And that kind of, even though we won the game and I don't really have any complaints outside of that, that's just sticking in my craw because that's something that can pop back up.
Well, and I said that, Trell, where they were stuck on 17-6 a couple of times right before you just came out. And, you know, and it was they'd make a good play on defense and then the offense doesn't, like, they don't put the nail in the coffin at some times, right? And but they didn't make the mistakes really either, Trell, right? Like, and that's something this team has done where when they have a chance to put a game away, it's like the worst interception you've ever seen right after that. But today, I don't know if they necessarily needed it. I understand where you're saying Matt LaFleur looking a little passive in the game, but they knew, Trell, like, the Vikings offense is a disaster right now, and their defense looks pretty damn good.
But the only thing that the reason why I think that it bothered me some, because I think it's that same type of thing that we end up losing a couple games we shouldn't have lost this year to Carolina or to a Cleveland. And that's what bothered me. Even though we were better than Minnesota and J.J. McCarthy is, you know, he's got a long way to go. So we ran into something good. And our defense was tremendous today. I mean, but I just think about if we didn't have that kind of timely thing with the kickoff where we kind of pushed the guy or a punt, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Where you pushed them right into that ball. That changed the tie of the game. And that made it that it was allowable for us to play that way on offense. And I get it. And that's fine. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, I didn't like it because I feel as though we shouldn't wait till we lose to start harping on something when you see the ugly things in a win. And that's the only thing that bothered me. But this was a great win. I'm actually going to savor it. And I'm, that's just the only thing that's just sticking out to me. But besides that, everything else across the board was excellent.
Yeah,
so that's where I'm at with that.
I agree with you. Trell, happy Sunday, my man. Have a good rest of your day.
Yes, sir.
There he is. Trail north side of Milwaukee. You can jump on too. 414-677-1250. That is the number to join the Nicolay Law Talk and Text line. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Tommy Wirtz still here. Charlie Usen filling in for Mr. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I don't know, Charlie. Like, again, it just feels really nitpicky if we want to say, like, oh, he plays to not lose as opposed he plays to win. Like, for the most part today, Matt LaFleur had a game plan of pound the rock and let's see what happens with Emmanuel Wilson while Josh Jacobs is going to be resting. And like you said, Josh Jacobs hasn't had a game all season in which he got 28 carries. It felt like the Packers were very content with keeping control of the football and not making a mistake on offense because they had that much faith in their defense today.
What's bothered me in the past couple weeks isn't the fact that the Packers have been passive throughout those games. It's the fact that they start off aggressive or feel like they go into the game with a different game plan than what they end the game with. What I'm happy about with this week is the fact that it looks like they went into the game with a passive game plan and stuck with that game plan throughout the game and didn't veer off from it because they got scared or felt like they were under pressure. This is a situation where, again, it just felt like Matt LaFleur was willing to trust himself and trust the team that was on the field. And then Josh Jacobs isn't on the field. He's your best player. He's the best player on this offense, even if statistically this season he hasn't been on the top of his game.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two different titles. Mm-hmm. I think there's best player, mm-hmm. and I think there's best leader.
Yes,
okay,
obviously.
And I think that, yeah, he is maybe the best leader on the offense. As far as, is he the best player on this Packers offense? I think that's up in the air. Like, I understand on paper Josh Jacobs had a phenomenal year last year and he gets a touchdown every game he plays in because he is a red zone weapon. But if Tucker Kraft was healthy, it'd be Tucker Kraft. And Jordan Love, I think, while today doesn't necessarily help his resume, has been in the argument of having a better offensive season than Josh Jacobs has had this season for Green Bay right now. And we haven't even brought up this guy's name, but Christian Watson, just a very impactful 5 catches today for 49 yards. Like, very solid. Every time they needed a play to be converted, it was Christian Watson they were trying to throw the ball to. Jordan Love, facing a lot of pressure, floats it up, Watson's got it. He was all in on that, like, 10-yard out towards the sideline today. Like, Christian Watson was beautiful at that. He had 7 targets and caught the ball 5 times today. I think that he is going to be transitioning into a bigger focal point for the offense in the coming weeks. I don't expect Emmanuel Wilson to maintain the starting running back position, but I think he's earned himself now, like, maybe 10 carries a game, Charlie.
Right. I would assume with the way Josh Jacobs has been handled this past week, you kind of have to go with that game plan with Emmanuel Wilson. And then Christian Watson, it felt like that for the first time in the past couple of years, they're allowing these wide receivers to have multiple roles on the field. It kind of felt like they were specializing a lot of these guys for a majority of the past 2 seasons, along with Jordan Love, in order to get him comfortable with these players that may not be the top tier wide receivers that they are used to in a Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson in the past, all these great players that they've had. It's a different kind of room, and this is the first game where it felt like Christian Watson wasn't just running down the sideline and then Jordan Love was trusting him down the sideline, which works really well sometimes. It felt like you said, he could run those 10-yard outs that are normally a Romeo Doubs type of play. It felt like he was more of a threat, and that Dontayvion Wicks was more of a threat in the middle of the field than we've seen them use those two guys before in the past. It just felt like, again, that they came in with a game plan that they were more comfortable with and never veered away from it.
No, and that's got to be worth something, too, on Matt LaFleur. Like, he didn't veer away from something that was working, right? And, again, I have in my notes a couple of times here on these 3rd and short running out of the shotgun. You know what's the other play that just ticks me off to know? Like, has anyone ever seen a touchdown happen on a play where they do, like, a toss, but then they run the play between the tackles? Have we ever seen that? Like, why not just hand the football off? What is toss the ball back, and then somehow they're running between the tackles?
Try to draw everybody to the outside and then hope that opens up the inside because just love running up the middle for some reason?
It's never worked. It's never worked for any football team, regardless of Packers or not. But the toss play,
like 1930 maybe, it
like,
worked.
Again, yeah.
That, like, really threw those guys
off. We're going to run it right here on this sweep, like, tell them what's coming and they're not going to stop it. No, that's not. We're not in the days of plumbers playing anymore. It's never worked. They hate that play call always, too. But again, like, very nitpicky. I thought Matt LaFleur had a fine day. I thought, you know, thank God he didn't try to do anything at the end of the first half. I think Green Bay getting the ball second really had an opportunity there in the second half that they maybe should have capitalized on. But regardless, that is very nitpicky, in my opinion, for this Green Bay Packers team. They win 23-6 over the Minnesota Vikings. Now 7-3-1 on the year and 2-0 in division play, hey?
Yes, like, sir.
It feels so weird. It's been that long since they played a divisional game. You got to go all the way back to week one against the Detroit Lions, who find themselves in overtime, leading 7 by 7, 34-27. They just scored the first drive of overtime.
Jahmyr Gibbs, another long touchdown past the 50.
Yeah. Man, I just, let's, Jameis, you have a chance to do something really funny, man. You have
maybe
a chance.
Like a 3-yard rushing touchdown now?
Oh, man.
Hit all three?
Yeah, if Jameis gets the trifecta on top of it. Yeah, and they're going to go for two, right?
Oh,
if they score, like, you got to go for the win at this point. On the other side, we'll dive deeper inside the box score here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, powered by Lakeland University, right here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Let's go inside the box score. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Parsons getting a running start from linebacker. He's picked up this time. Gary able to get there. Couldn't get him down though. Now McCarthy takes another sack. Devontae Wyatt, second of the game. He's doubled his season total, and the Pack has picked up five of them.
Woo! Defense, baby! That was Devontae Wyatt. We're gonna have Devontae Wyatt back at like full capacity now here. I'm sorry, I turned you off. That's there. Okay. Go ahead.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
Real nice to get Devontae Wyatt full speed.
Dude, Devontae Wyatt looking awesome today, rushing from the interior. The run defense, not necessarily beautiful in the game for Green Bay. However, 23-6. That's the most important stat of the day. The W coming home to Green Bay after they take down the Minnesota Vikings. Didn't allow a point in the second half. We've said claims about this team's on the defensive side that, yeah, maybe they run out of gas at the end of the game. No, they pinned their ears back. That felt like that was the first time that this happened this season too, Charlie, is that the defense smelled blood. They smelled blood in the water, and they attacked right after that.
It helps when the offense isn't having those inconsistent drives where it feels like they're going 18 plays and then three and out for two straight drives. It felt like the game was controlled by the Packers' offense for a majority of this time-wise, and the Packers' defense took advantage of that, took advantage of the extra rest, took advantage of the time on the bench to kind of figure out what's happening with the Vikings offense, which wasn't all that complicated in the first place. So this was a perfect recipe for them to take over.
Going inside the box score here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer today. Jordan Love, starting with the quarterbacks here, 14 of 21, 139 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked just once. His quarterback rating, 85.2. But again, pretty mistake-free, it felt like, out of Jordan Love today. There was the one that it was tipped and hit Dontavian Wicks in the face that it was like, oh, my God, when that throw happened,
it was a little bit of a duck.
What was going on there? But it got tipped, and then it was fine, and you know, hit him in the face, and whatever from there. Malik Willis getting some action on the last offensive drive. There it is. That was the playbook they drew up for Malik Willis. It just matters. It's only when the Packers are up by 17 in a game that they can't lose.
Jordan Love can't be mad about that one.
I love that package. That was my favorite offensive package of the day when the Packers were like, hey, we already won, so we're just going to put Malik in. That's when Malik Willis is best utilized, in my opinion.
They're shopping him to the Vikings for next season.
I mean, could have been a tryout game. Right?
Exactly.
Do you know the topic Steve Sparky Pfeiffer would have on Wisconsin Sports Daily on, does this make you scared of Minnesota?
He's probably already drafting it up right now, dude.
If it was Malik Willis on the passing side. On the offensive side for the Minnesota Vikings with the quarterback, man, J.J. McCarthy, 12 for 19, 87 yards. He was sacked five times for 35 yards, two interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 34.2.
Not great. Usually not looking for that from your starting quarterback at all. He looked like it, too. It just didn't feel like he had any control of this game at all throughout the majority of it. And again, that's courtesy of the Packers defense.
What is J.J. McCarthy, like, there is an avenue in which this is his last season starting,
so.
Right?
I think
like,
so.
Like, I don't know if
that's pretty broad avenue, too.
I'm just saying, like, they're 4-7 right now. They lose to Green Bay, which is a big remember this moment for picking your quarterbacks in the division. If you can beat the Packers, like, you can save yourself some time a la Kirk Cousins on Minnesota.
People were fine with Caleb Williams once he beat him at the end of last season. They're like, okay, yep, he's back to being the savior, guys.
Exactly. In a game that didn't matter for Green Bay, even. Like, that was enough. Like, Caleb Williams showed enough just because he beat the Packers. J.J. McCarthy's first instance against Green Bay in Lambeau Field, yikes. It was not looking good by any means. And I mean, again, if they win two, maybe three more games, he could probably buy himself another season. But it's looked terrible the entire time J.J. McCarthy has started at quarterback, which who could have saw that coming when he looked so good in college handing the ball off every time. He never had to make any big throws ever. He did play well in the college football playoff that year, I remember, too. But anyway, regardless, this isn't a show about the Vikings and how bad J.J. McCarthy
looks. I think J.J. McCarthy, last things, job security is worse than Luke Fickell now after yesterday.
Oh,
that's
good.
How low he is right
That's
now.
That's a topic. That's a topic for Wisconsin Sports Daily. I like that one. The rushing side, we've talked about it already. Emmanuel Wilson looks good with 28 carries and 107 yards, and then some scrap yardage. 14 extra carries around there, 8 for Chris Brooks. Jordan Love pulled it down 3 times. Malik Willis had a run and then a kneel, so he got 2. And Savion Williams, I thought the Savion Williams play was interesting, and I was wondering how much of that they had drawn up today, because if, let's say, Emmanuel Wilson didn't look like he looked today, how much were they going to try to experiment with Savion Williams in a similar role to being in the backfield or wherever he was going to be? Maybe not necessarily when Love was under center, but go out, catch something from the running back position, just because he was a kind of a hybrid in college as well. He did play a little bit of running back for TCU played a lot of wide receiver, obviously, and that's what, you know, maybe if the Packers weren't so thin at wide receiver today, that could have been something. But 146 yards on the ground for Green Bay, and that outrushed over 53 yards more than the Minnesota Vikings, who had 93. Usually that's a good recipe for success, Charles.
Oh, definitely. Packers did have 22 more carries than the Vikings in this game too, which is pretty insane. I mean, going back to Savion Williams and using him out of the backfield, you've seen teams use players like Cordarrelle Patterson out of the backfield, which a lot of people compared Savion Williams to out of the draft, but the Packers have done it before too. Ty Montgomery came out of the backfield when they were shorthanded at running back, and they found a way to make it work. I think this is a situation where, yes, you do have to have some kind of game plan just in case Emmanuel Wilson isn't working out or Chris Brooks comes into this game and doesn't rush all that well, which he did in this one. I think with a Savion Williams, it does give you that kind of flexibility, but only like red flag, last chance emergency type of flexibility. Again, like they had with the Ty Montgomery, which he ended up sticking around at running back for a while. That
a little
was
bit,
cool.
Yeah. He became a running back pretty much right after that. That was what his plan was. Moving down to the receivers, Christian Watson leading the way in receptions and yards, had 5 for 49 in the game. That's just a 9.8 average. But again, they didn't really have anything that was take the top off on the defense. I don't even remember Jordan Love throwing a ball like more than 25 yards in the air.
Longest completion was 18 yards. So yeah. Wicks and Dobbs.
Yeah. Okay. So again, like they didn't really have anything that they were drawing up. I don't know if that was they don't want to show anything or they knew they were going to be understaffed and they didn't want to really try to do anything that creative. But the Packers offense didn't look all that creative today. They didn't try to do anything too fancy or special. Dontavian Wicks, 2 for 32. Romeo Dobbs, 2 for 23. Emmanuel Wilson, 2 for 18. Romeo Dobbs kind of quiet in this one, Charlie. And again, a lot of the routes you saw him getting earlier in the year felt like they were going to Christian Watson today.
It did, but it worked. You saw Christian Watson be able to do that job, which I think also will say a lot about Romeo Dobbs in the offseason this year. I think if they can find a way to get other guys into that position to do what he does best, I think that's a little bit worrisome for a guy like Romeo Dobbs moving forward here. At the same time, like you were saying before, they just didn't feel like they needed to be all that creative in this game. Minnesota Vikings were just not putting up enough of a fight to warrant that. And I think with a Romeo Dobbs, the way you do be creative when you don't have a very creative group of players on the field at that point, or your head coach doesn't want to be as creative, is by putting different guys in other guys' positions. And it worked out with Christian Watson, and it could save him some money in the future.
The Packers got 3 catches for 19 yards out of their tight end room today. Gosh, that stinks compared to what Tucker Kraft was doing earlier in the year. John Fitzpatrick, the longest catch of the day from a tight end. He had 11 yards.
Tough run, too, after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. You were like, whoa, that's not Luke Musgrave with the ball in his hands. I can't even tell what number it is.
He would have been on the ground immediately.
Just from the fact that baby deer legs didn't come out. Shout out to all the hunters this weekend. Yeah, you knew it wasn't him and Josh Wiley a catch for a yard in there as well. On the defensive side, that's where Green Bay really shined in this one. We heard the highlight courtesy of Fox 6 earlier at the top of this segment. Devontae Wyatt got home for 2 sacks. Micah Parsons also able to get a couple of sacks during this game. We saw Warren Brinson get involved with one with Isaiah McDuffie. McDuffie led the way with 9 tackles today, had the huge interception. A big day for a guy taking over for Quay Walker today, Charlie.
McDuffie just knows how to do his job. That's why he goes out there and is doing everything technically sound, which is something that you don't always get out of a Quay Walker, something you don't always get out of an Edgier and Cooper. Those guys are by far better athletes than a McDuffie is on that field. But in a game like this, again, where the offense is just going out there and doing their job and trying to play their game, the defense has to go out there and do that too. And they did it, and it was led by Isaiah McDuffie, who is the best at knowing just to do his job.
And Jeff Hafley's boy.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So he's going to get every opportunity he can, even when Quay is healthy. But with Quay Walker not playing today, I thought Isaiah McDuffie stepped in at a very pivotal role in this game on the defensive side, especially. The Green Bay defense as well. This was big on beat writer Twitter for Green Bay during this one. Kamal Haddon had come in for Keyshawn Nixon, who left the game with a stinger, is what they were called. Devontae Wyatt, like, he just stands there, and Keyshawn runs into him on the sideline. And I guess like Keyshawn Nixon is enough evidence for me to know I don't want to run into Devontae Wyatt at full strength because he didn't move literally at all, and Keyshawn Nixon was out for the game after it happened. So big dude down in the middle for Green Bay caused the injury there, but Kamal Haddon had come in exchange, and it wasn't Bo Melton, which a lot of people were expecting. And Kamal Haddon, it was his first career snaps, and they didn't target him or anything. It wasn't something that really opened up this game, especially on the other side. When you look at the receiving totals, Justin Jefferson just 4 for 48 in this game. Jalen Naylor didn't have a catch. Jordan Addison didn't have a catch in this game. And I'll give up 5-yard dump-offs to TJ Hockenson all day. With the weaponry this Minnesota Vikings offense has, almost an unacceptable performance out of the quarterback in McCarthy.
I mean, at the same time, though, how much time did he have to throw on a majority of these plays? We talked about the pass rush that we saw from this Green Bay Packers team. When you have to triple team Micah Parsons, that means your offensive line's struggling. We saw Christian Darrisaw on the sideline. They showed him a couple times over there, their number one offensive tackle. This is a situation where, J.J. McCarthy did not play good. There were some times where he did have good protection, and he just did not know how to step up or move out of the pocket and get rid of the football. But in this game, at the same time, the offensive line has to be better for the young quarterback, too, to give him a little bit of time. But the Packers' defense is one of the tops in the league, and you just can't stop that when they're going like that.
The big stat that we have not brought up, but we've played a little bit of it, 3 turnovers for Green Bay in this one. 2 on the defensive side, 1 on the special team side with the muffed punt from Miles Bryce in this one. And then they didn't commit any in this ball game. I don't remember what the updated number was for yards in the second half for Minnesota, but at one point it was the fourth quarter and they had negative 22 yards on the offensive side in the second half. Like, again, that is elite defensive play, but that is also just terrible offensive play in that one as well. And Green Bay really able to capitalize on it. They dominate in time of possession, 37-15 to 22-45. The penalties, this was a pretty easygoing game as far as penalties in this one. Both teams, just 2 penalties on the day. 10 yards on those 2 penalties for Green Bay. So no holdings the entire game. I didn't even realize that. And 2 for 29 for Minnesota. Luke Musgrave should put that pass interference on his highlight tape. Like, that was a huge play in the game, it felt like.
The second time this season where he's had a long pass interference down the left sideline that's helped the Packers out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you like to see it. It's helping the team. I think this is a situation where you saw, again, Matt LaFleur run a game plan that didn't let the offensive line get holding penalties. When you're running up the middle as often as they are, and yes, it led to them missing some blocks, but you can't get seen as well if you have a shoulder pad or if you have his arm, the defensive lineman, if you're an offensive lineman. This is a situation where, again, it just felt like the game plan was there to help out this offense as much as possible and keep them safe.
We're going till 5 o'clock today. Green Bay football post game show presented by Lakeland University. If you want to jump apart, like, I mean, 414-677-1250, that's the number to join the show, the Nicolay Law talking text line. Again, like, we're loud when they are not playing well. We have been loud. I have been loud. They played pretty damn good today, I thought. Complete game is what we have been searching for this team, and I think this is as close to a complete game as we have seen out of the Green Bay Packers in the last maybe 2 months, like right now. They look awesome, and I was excited to talk about this game after. Dial it up, 414-677-1250. We got plenty of time for you. We'll still hear from Jordan Love, the head football coach, Matt LaFleur, as well later on in the program, and from the Green Bay Press Gazette, Ryan Wood will jump on and be a part of the show as well. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's time for the drive of the game. Which drive was the most impressive by Green Bay today? Which was the most important? It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Drive of the game. Sometimes it's a long, methodical drive that ends in points, a touchdown, a game-winning field goal, wherever it is. No, not this one. This drive, 2 plays, 5 yards, and it ended like this. It was the second touchdown of the day for Emmanuel Wilson.
319's up.
Wilson again reaches for the goal. Make them pay. Second touchdown for Emmanuel Wilson. And it's a 2-score lead for Green Bay. And it's the second week in a row the Vikings have made a critical special teams error.
Yeah, take a look here. You see Wilson, he's laying on top of Isaiah Rogers, number two. The second really good goal line effort we've seen in this game by Emmanuel Wilson.
Joe Davis, Greg Olson, they were on the call on Fox 6. That's where the highlight is courtesy of Big Charles. I was trying to tell you, I remember seeing it was negative 22 rushing yards in the second half. Well, here were the second half drives for the Minnesota Vikings in this game. Well, let's count the muffed punts. Okay. Like that happened. Then after that, they went 3 and out and got 2 yards.
Solid. All
then
right.
After that, they went 3 and out and got negative 12 yards. Then after that, they went 3 and out, got negative 17 yards.
Okay.
After that, they did not have negative yards.
Woohoo!
It was the first play, and they threw an interception,
nice.
Though, however. And then a 5-play, 26-yard drive that ended in an interception. I don't know if I've seen a second-half offense look any worse than that. And by my math, negative 1 total yards in the second half for the Minnesota Vikings. They would have been better off not playing if they would have just went out there and QB sneaked every single time. Their offense would have looked better. I can't believe that their longest drive of the second half was 5 plays.
Well, and their best drive was a 3 and out for 2 yards because the last one ended in an interception. That was an awful throw by J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just abysmal. the Packers defense probably didn't even need to be out there. It felt like they were just shooting themselves in the foot a majority of that second half. And again, Packers defense just took advantage time in, time again. That's what they need to do against these bad teams.
Although the first drive of the game for Green Bay, definitely rivaling it. They went seven plays for 70 yards on that one. And it sounded like this at the end of it with Emmanuel Wilson for his first touchdown of the game.
He got his first touchdown of the season last week. Straight ahead, got hit at the line, kept on turning and got in. Green Bay in the end zone on their first drive of the day.
Blake Cashman has him dead to rights in the hole, and Wilson just runs him over. They're now six of their last six red zone opportunities, but take a look here. Cashman's unblocked, and Wilson just runs him over at the goal line. They used to tell backs, hey, sometimes at the goal line, you have to be your own blocker. We're not going to get them all accounted for, and Emmanuel Wilson took that to heart.
He did take that to heart. Shades of Bo Jackson runs over Bosworth, maybe. Ooh. Anyone? It was a free play for Blake Cashman. Like, all he had to do was not stop and drive through, and instead, Emmanuel Wilson ran him over for his second touchdown of the season, his first touchdown of the game, in lieu of, I believe, everyone being in agreement, maybe the most important player of the game for Green Bay today.
And I noticed on this touchdown drive, and you kind of saw it on a lot of some of the better runs that Emmanuel Wilson had today, Darren Kennard reporting in as eligible as that third tight end on this unit. And I think that's something that this Packers team, especially in the red zone, needs to start taking more advantage of. Putting him out there and just having that sixth offensive lineman in order to guarantee scores like this, because we've seen in the losses that red zone kind of, the golden zone, the 10 yards, you need to be better there.
Yeah, and they have 42 different linemen they keep rotating throughout this game.
You kind of have to.
Jordan Morgan going out there, Anthony Belton going out there, rotating in at the guard position. They still have no idea, I guess, what they're doing over there. But Anthony Belton, I thought, looked all right at right guard today. He had a fine day. The Green Bay team as a whole, again, I'm really saying, like, looking back now at the previous weeks here, we have been begging Green Bay for a complete game, right? The Giants game, I don't think that was a complete game, right? They lost to Philly. They lost to Pittsburgh. They lost to the Panthers before Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, maybe you could say, like, complete game.
Even then, it just felt like that game was a lot closer for a majority of it than when you were looking at the box score at the end of the day. It just felt like the Steelers were in that game so much more than the Vikings were in this game. The Vikings felt like they never really had a shot, even when it was 10-3 at halftime.
Yeah, and they didn't get in the end zone all that much, as they had one touchdown drive in the first half. That was the first drive of the game, and one touchdown drive in the second half of the game. That was the touchdown we just played from Emmanuel Wilson getting on the board for the second time in the ball game. However, this defense continuing to be a menace. The five sacks on the year. Mike Parsons now over 10 sacks already on the year, which everyone was like, oh, Rashawn Gary, maybe the most pressure he's under ever. Like, no, Micah Parsons needs to still be the guy. And we played some of his highlights, even on the highlights, saying he gets double teamed more than anyone, and he still gets through. In his first five seasons, last guy to get 10 or more sacks in his first five seasons, we've heard it already, Reggie White. With
pretty good company to be in.
Who did it nine straight seasons to start his career. So Micah, still a long way to go. It's the second longest streak to begin a career with 10 or more sacks. But you gotta be happy with what he's done now. He gets to 10 sacks in the 11th game. You can expect, hopefully, 15 is on the horizon for Micah Parsons. The sack numbers have been crazy this season. And I guess it's probably because they throw the ball more than they ever have now, too.
Well, and Myles Garrett is leading the league. His defense is on the field a majority of those games. So that helps a little bit, too.
Hey, Browns are up 14-0 right now on the Raiders. Shador, 4-for-6 for 77 yards as of right now.
Shador time or whatever he says.
Shador time, yeah. Sanders hour, that's what we're going to call it now. How about the skull chance after that Evan Williams turnover. They got the interception, and the defense runs to the end zone, and everyone's doing skull. Packers fans doing skull in the crowd. I thought that was some pretty A1 trolling on Green Bay's side, too.
It's nice to see that kind of rivalry show up. We were seeing it with the Bears at the end of last season, the chippiness that you saw between the two teams. Again, the NFC North just feels like a bloodbath each week, no matter if you're beating the teams like the Vikings like you did today. It still feels like there's animosity there, which you love to see.
I love to see it. We're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour. On the other side, you will hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur first. That's what we'll do on the other side of the 4 o'clock hour. Jordan Love will be in there as well. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette is going to join us. And it'll be a different tone that I talk with Ryan Wood. Sometimes I can get a little testy with Ryan Wood, it feels like, Charlie.
And I'll use his normal picture this time. I've been using his picture with hair lately, and he hasn't been a fan, so I'll use the normal one this time.
I've yet to see the DLC, okay, Ryan
maybe
Wood.
Maybe I'll flash it up there just for you.
I've seen it, like, in your shows, but I've never used it on this DLC. One. But, like, that's what else is it? It's, like, alternative outfit for the Ryan Wood.
Throwback.
He's just got hair at Ball State University. Shout out Ryan Wood at Ball State. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen here with you. Let's get ready for it. Hour number two. Keep talking. Packers win 23-6 over the Minnesota Vikings.
Show them what time it is.
The game is over. What went right and what went wrong? It's time for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Experience it your way. Visit lakeland.edu. Let's get to your hosts of the show, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Tommy Wirtz, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Tommy Wirtz hosting today with Mr. Charlie Usen in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. 23-6, the Green Bay Packers. Oh, that was my Sparky-like impression.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I thought that was good.
We are live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Experience it your way, lakeland.edu. And the Green Bay Packers back in the win column, back-to-back wins now over inferior opponents, for sure. But, man, did you see the fight that the Giants put up against the Lions today, man?
Mm-hmm. Jameis wanted it.
We inside, but we outside. We outside, but we inside. If you didn't see that clip on Twitter, that one was pretty good. That's like another all-time Jameisism that he does. as well, but they do lose, however. They did lose, right? That was 24.
They did indeed,
yeah, 34-27.
Jahmyr Gibbs iced it in overtime.
Yeah, 55 points out of him in fantasy football.
Crazy.
Crazy day. After the game was over, Matt LaFleur speaking to the media. Let's listen in on what the head coach had to say after the Packers get their seventh win on the season, now 7-3-1 in 2025.
So just really proud of our guys. When you look at the game in terms of all three phases contributed to that win, it's never easy going against a division rival and a team that has beat us twice in a row at Lambeau. So that felt really good. And
that's a good point. Also as well here, stopping Matt LaFleur early, beating them twice in a row now in Lambeau to get that back in their favor. Huge for Green Bay in the division. And again, thank you to J.J. McCarthy. Maybe like becoming everyone's favorite quarterback right now in the division for Green Bay.
I think so. He just likes helping people out. He's a nice guy.
They should sign him. They should lock him up before anyone else gets after it. Make sure. And more Matt LaFleur.
Told them you can enjoy it for a couple hours, but really today's Wednesday in our world, so that it's a quick turnaround. So guys got to try to get their bodies back. We'll get together as a team tomorrow, and we're off and on to Detroit.
When did you know definitively that Josh wouldn't be able to play today?
About 9:45-ish.
Were you kind of leaning in that direction? Like kind of
not necessarily, no. The conversations I had with him, I just said, hey, man, you got to, like, let me know. in terms of where you're at. He's always going to fight to play. He was fighting to play. He just there was just a little apprehension I felt, and so I thought it was, we thought it was the best thing to do to not put him in that position.
How much does Emmanuel kind of give you some confidence, and what is
he did a hell of a job, man. He did a great job. I thought Chris Brooks went in there and ran hard as well. It was kind of a weird game where our defense really had control of the football game. I've never called the same run so many times consecutively. It was like 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it was effective. And bottom line was, I just thought with the way our defense was playing, we just took the air out of the ball and said, go win it for us.
So Matt LaFleur admitting there, he's like, I've never called the same play more times in a row. I think that was apparent when watching the game. It looked like that, and from my opinion, Charlie, I don't know their play calls, obviously. But is that something where it's like, hey, we didn't really want to show too much to Detroit at some point in this game, too, that Matt LaFleur maybe becoming a little more passive? I mean, the writing was on the wall that the defense was going to dominate the entire game. But we had Trell from the north side call in and say, you know, Matt LaFleur coaching to not lose as opposed to not win sometimes in this game. But ultimately, like, yeah, he did a good job of it, at least, coaching to not lose against Minnesota.
It seems like the way to beat the Lions so far this season is to beat them at their own game, which is being more creative. The Giants fought through this game by having two crazy trick plays that worked out, and they were able to go out there with an interim head coach that nobody's seen him really lead this team yet, and be able to put up at least a fight against the Lions when they were by far the inferior team in that situation. The Green Bay Packers can go out there and do the same thing. Be creative. Go out there and run some trick plays maybe in this game if you're fully healthy. This is a situation where you can really open up against the Lions. And I think, yeah, there is some point to going out here against the Vikings and just not showing what you got.
Did you ever feel during the game that Green Bay was playing with their food? I don't know if I necessarily felt that way about it. I've seen the Lions play with their food, right?
No. I felt like the Packers went into this game with a respect for the Vikings and their coaching staff and just said, you know what? We have a game plan for them. We're not going to go away from it. Didn't feel like they were ever allowing Minnesota to have a chance. They went in there and smothered them right away.
Yeah, let's get some more from Matt LaFleur.
You never run on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4. Why were you doing
You never run on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4. Why were you doing that today? He was probably like, you know what? Our run game usually sucks, and I run on 3rd and 2 the entire time. The run game was decent today, so what's the difference with 3rd and 3, right? I mean, I expect that to be the answer from Matt LaFleur right now.
I think so.
Okay. That's.
okay. Actually, pretty much exactly what I just said, right? He was just
that's just
that was okay.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I am gonna that we got to make that a drop. Okay.
Great question, Spoon.
I mean, oh, he is pissed. He got asked this question. He is not happy,
but he's in a good mood, so he's a little playful. He's playing with his food right now. Is what he does.
Okay.
So a couple of those. You know, sometimes we have some run-pass cans. They don't give us the look, and then you end up running the football. There was one in the red area where it was 3rd and 3. We called the run, and we lost yards. So I was thinking we had 2 downs. So it really treated it like 2nd down, but we went backwards. And I didn't want to, with just the score of the game, I thought it was smart to take the points there. I think we were up 11 to make it a 14-point game. And then the other one was we weren't sure about the catch on the sideline, whether or not we caught the ball or not. So we jumped the ball. Unfortunately, we missed a block right at the point of attack. That should have been accounted for. And that was, I would say, the thing that disappointed me the most in some of those critical situations. I mean, we had a pass play canned to the run, and we don't block. I think it was Eric Wilson or the Mike linebacker, and he just runs through and stuffs our back in the hole. He should be accounted for. We don't target him, and unfortunately, that was the result. So that led to a punt. Now, you could look at the other side. I think that was the punt where we recovered the fumble. So maybe somebody was looking out for us.
So after that one, you know, Matt LaFleur voicing his frustrations with some inside pressure, that's been a problem all year, Charlie, that whoever has been playing center, whether it was Elgton Jenkins or it has been Sean Ryan now, like, they just can't identify middle blitz, mug blitz at all, it feels like. And we saw a couple of nice pickups from Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson on it today, and I know that that is a part of picking up the middle blitz, is a running back has to come and, you know, chip or block fully a middle linebacker, but they continue to not recognize those plays, and that feels like it's something they got to get down before they want to continue on in 25.
It is, but I wouldn't put all the blame on just the center position. In situations like this, especially when you're running a zone scheme like the Packers do so well, the center and the guards are moving as a unit, and generally the front side linebacker is to be accounted for by either a double team between the center and one of the guards, or by a tight end pulling or going across field. It's usually the backside linebacker that's accounted for by the offensive line. So I think a situation like this, you have to look at the offensive guard potentially. If he's not moving in unison with the center, if he's not running that zone play, it's obviously going to leave a giant gap where you want to run. Or if your tight end group is not pulling and making enough of an impact on their running or their rush routes, that's a situation where you have to look at. And if you don't have a Tucker Kraft on the field, that's something that you are going to have to deal with moving forward.
More Matt LaFleur.
As a play caller, you mentioned was take the air out of the ball. As an aggressive guy who wants to be aggressive, how hard is it to do that, to be disciplined in that?
It's extremely hard, but I thought it was the best thing to do for our football team.
How much did the turnover on the punt, just how much did that change?
That changed the entire game. I can't say enough about that play. It was a great punt, first of all, by Daniel. And then Zane Anderson, his ability to drive his man into the football and then somehow come up with it. I thought that was the play of the game. That was the difference maker right there.
You don't come into a game, obviously, just wanting to take the air out of the ball. At what point today did you kind of look and realize, oh, defense, just do this, kind of change this approach here, this is going to be good for us?
Yeah, I think once we got a lead and, you know, just as effective as our pass rush. I mean, this is the first time in a while where I thought our guys could kind of pin their ears back and just go. And so, I mean, it just goes to show you the importance of getting a lead where you put a team into some situations where they're, you know, feel like they have to throw the football.
You know, I mean, I know you're always trying to score. How do you game plan so that happens more often? So.
Wow, that is the question. If somebody can help me, that'd be great. I mean, what do you think we're doing, Pete? Yeah. Not trying to get a lead?
I mean, make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely it did. We had three possessions in the first half. I mean, it's one of those, it's like a lot of these games this year, like where possessions are at a premium. We had long drives on all of them. Unfortunately, had 10 points.
Pete Doherty coming top rope. Have you thought about leading in a football game this year, Matt? I mean, more or less what the question just was. It was like, why aren't you trying to do that more? Wow. Okay.
Thanks, Pete. I mean, we appreciate that.
Matt LaFleur just getting the hard hitters today.
Well,
but
that's how you know he likes the reporters, the way he responds. Because if he responded that way to like people he didn't know, they would not be happy with his responses, man.
Like, I mean, again, I know Matt LaFleur has been under a lot of fire this year and a lot of questionable moments, but like to say the question of, have you thought about, you know, leading a football game or getting your defense into a position to lead a football game? Yeah, that's a crazy question to ask the offensive play caller of the team. And again, like Matt LaFleur, Ryan Wood asked the question, he'll join us in this hour, of how did it feel when you are an offense that likes to try to be aggressive, take the air out of the football, and just really, you know, rely on Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks to be this guy who is going to slow down the game from a running standpoint, keep that clock rolling. I mean, they had 15 more minutes of possession compared to the Minnesota Vikings, And it allowed for the Minnesota Vikings offense to never get in a rhythm either. I mean, we went over their second half numbers. It's negative one total yards on offense. That is elite defensive play and atrocious offensive play. And if they're not able to get a rhythm like that, it's going to help your offense in the long run too, Charlie.
I think what also helps them out a little bit is that looking at the rest of the schedule for the year, they're not playing the toughest run defenses in the league. So you can potentially have a situation like you had today where you don't need your offensive line to be perfect all the time. You can still dominate the time of possession in a game as long as they can get you those 3.8 yards per carry.
Let's get one more Matt LaFleur question in here. Maybe there'll be another funny clip.
Wish we could score every time we had the ball.
You're going to probably get in some games where maybe it's cold outside and you need to do what you did today, which was run the ball. I mean, did you feel like you got any kind of imposing your will at all up front, or you think you're still kind of...
No, I thought there were moments where we absolutely did that. And, I mean, they had a lot of guys up there on the line of scrimmage, and they were bringing blitzes and safety blitzes and, you know, trying to move the front, and a couple times it got us. But I thought all in all, like, our guys did a really good job up front.
All right, that's enough Matt LaFleur for today. Pretty funny, however, that entire sequence with Matt LaFleur. Just he's got to think, like, these guys don't know ball in the room, right? I mean, a little bit of arrogance to him. Like,
okay.
I mean, that was, you could tell that he was just not ready for that all today. He was not ready to have someone be like, okay, like ready for him on his play calling, Matt LaFleur. I would say never change, but that would probably get like pitchforks outside of our radio station. But that was funny. At least going to say that much. That was funny. Green Bay victorious 23-6. Over the Minnesota Vikings today. 2-0 now in the NFC North, so more wins in the NFC North this year than they had all last season already.
That's a step up. That's one of our goals before the season was to do that. So,
Better.
We'll take it.
Be better in the division. Now they have two more divisional games in a row. They will have Detroit on Thursday, of course, with Thanksgiving. We will be live here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network from 3 to 4. With that one, we'll do a nice little hour for you. But, hey, we want to get some people home on Thanksgiving as well so they can enjoy that. The Bears, then the following week, will be their first game of December. Of course, got to go to Detroit for Thanksgiving, and then they're back at Lambeau for that game against Chicago. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We will play some of Jordan Love. Maybe we'll hear from Ryan Wood by then as well. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
All about that nasty D. They all going down.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Start his career. Rashawn Gary gets there this time and forces an interception. Gary got his hand on it, and Isaiah McDuffie picked it off.
Was a beautiful play from Rashawn Gary and, of course, Isaiah McDuffie with that interception. Highlights courtesy of Fox 6. We were going to get into some Jordan Love, then this guy so pleasantly decided to interrupt.
What happened in today's game? It's time to go inside the locker room with Packers beat writer Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Joining us now on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law, you hear him every week on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show and a plethora of others here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan Wood. Ryan, I'm in a good mood for once talking to you here. How are we doing today, Ryan?
What kind of mad world is this that we're living in?
Yeah.
You're in a good mood. The Packers aren't playing with their food. This is Unfamiliar territory.
Unfamiliar indeed. And Malik Willis. That was that's the Malik Willis package I'm in for, Ryan Wood, is when they are already up by 17 and he doesn't have any incompletions, runs the ball when he needs to. That's the Malik Willis package I'm looking for. I'm totally down if they put him in those moments. But Ryan, this is a team and a fan base and an organization that has been looking, screaming for a complete game, whatever that means, for this Packers team. Well, today, about as close as they've gotten all season to a complete game, Ryan.
Which is exactly why this was never going to be the week if they go to a Malik Willis package that they unveil it. I think more like Detroit next week when the bar on offense isn't so low that after the game, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love both say the same thing, which is take the air out of the ball. Like have you ever squeezed the flat football? You hear the air going out.
Yeah.
It caves in on itself. That's what the Packers did to the Vikings today. They didn't need to do much at all. They could get away with being conservative and passive because what that defense did to J.J. McCarthy, which on paper was what you expected to see happen. You have essentially a rookie quarterback on the road against Micah Parsons in that pass rush. It should look ugly. And it did look ugly. Now, of course, Micah Parsons, 5 straight seasons now to start his career, his Hall of Fame career, with double-digit sacks. He made some history there. But I thought even more significant, Devontae Wyatt, his first sack since week 2.
Yeah.
He has 2 today. Both of them forced the Vikings to punt it basically on their goal line. And they finally, with Rashawn Gary pressuring J.J. McCarthy, turning that into an interception to Isaiah McDuffie, they finally used their pass rush to translate it into takeaways. First time this season they've had more than one takeaway in a game. All good signs.
Ryan, I got to ask you, how much of that do you think was impacted by the ineptitude of the Minnesota Vikings in this game? I mean, J.J. McCarthy didn't look great. We talked about that already, but the Vikings offensive line had to resort to triple teaming Micah Parsons like we've seen some of the other poor offensive lines do in the league late in games. How much of this was really just the Vikings not being able to show up, and then how well can the Packers translate this against a more, you know, complete team in the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving?
See, now Charlie sounds like me. Ryan, you spoke too early.
Yeah, you know, you guys got to make up your minds which role you're going to stay in. I get whiplash. It's very confusing, kind of like trying to block Micah Parsons. But hey, this how much had to do with the Vikings? A lot. I mean, a lot of that. They have a real problem there in Minnesota. This is a team that let Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold leave the building last year for J.J. McCarthy. He's not close. I don't know if he ever gets there. He's not close. But I don't want to – just because it had a lot to do with the Vikings, which is just realistic, doesn't mean that you can't give credit to the Packers for doing exactly what they should have done, because this is a team in 3 losses this season, all by a field goal. 2 of those games, they were double-digit favorites. They haven't been able to always come up with the critical stop that they needed in these kind of close games. Not these kind of close games. This is a blowout, but close games. They didn't let it get close today. They didn't play with their food. They did exactly what you expect to do in a mismatch like this, which was sack him relentlessly, get takeaways, and not let him in the end zone. Like that's what you're supposed to do, but they haven't always done what they're supposed to do this season. So I still think it's significant.
Yeah, Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us here on the Green Bay Football Post Game Show. Follow him on Twitter @ByRyanWood. We've gone so far now into this, and we haven't even brought up Emmanuel Wilson's name. Could Green Bay have had any better performance out of Emmanuel Wilson, where the offense, as we were talking about, took the air out of the football today, squeezing it, making sure that they could control the run game? Although the yards per carry is 3.8, I couldn't believe that when I looked at it at the end of it. It sure felt like today was a career day for Emmanuel Wilson, Ryan.
Yeah, even the yards per carry, I just most of this game he was up well over 4. I think at one point in the second half is 4.5. It got to the point where the Packers offensively knew that their defense was not going to give up anything. They didn't. You got a short week coming up against Detroit in a pivotal game. Why would Matt LaFleur empty his bag? Like at one point in the second half, he called the same run 4 or 5 times, because in a game like this, when the other side of the ball doesn't have a chance, you don't show anything. And Matt LaFleur didn't show anything today. So I think, you know, they're telegraphing the run. The yards per carry going to dip. Emmanuel Wilson found out today. All week I was thinking that he'd be the guy. He found out today from running backs coach Ben Sermons that he would be the guy. This is why it was a no-brain decision to keep Josh Jacobs inactive and give him a week off. Because using Emmanuel Wilson was never going to sacrifice this week. They were winning anyway. They should win anyway, and they did. And now you've got Josh Jacobs rested and healthier against the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving. I thought was, obviously, Emmanuel Wilson, 100 yards today. First Packers back this season. Something Josh Jacobs hadn't done all season to get 100 yards in a game. What was most significant in terms of numbers to me was 28. That's how many carries he had. Jordan Love had what, like 21 passes? The Packers didn't just play their backup running back today. They put the game in their backup running back's hands, and he delivered on that type of workload. This is why you sit Josh Jacobs, because they're just fine with an Emmanuel Wilson at backup for a week like this.
So how does that impact Emmanuel Wilson's role moving forward here when you do get a Josh Jacobs back into this? Is one game enough to get him an increase in carries, give Josh Jacobs a little bit more of a rest? Or is this something where, thanks, Emmanuel, you did awesome against the Minnesota Vikings, now you're back to being that for sure running back number two?
Well, I think Josh Jacobs is ultimately going to have a lot to say about that. I mean, the reality is the run game has not been good this year. A lot of that is the offensive line, which was much better today, has mostly not been good this year. I don't think all of it is, and I'm not even blaming Josh Jacobs for that. He's coming into the day, he's been on the injury report 5 of the last 8 weeks. All last season, he was on the injury report 6 times. There's been an ankle, a calf, a knee. The leg injuries have mounted up, and he just has not been at full capacity. This is still an offense that needs Josh Jacobs at his very best for them to be at their very best. But if the injuries continue to mount, if he can't get healthy, will they get to a point sometime this season where you need to increase Emmanuel Wilson's workload? Yeah, maybe. That might happen. It's not ideal. It's not what the Packers prefer, nor should they. But it's not outside the realm of possibility. At least you know with this backup running back, Emmanuel Wilson can do that. He can provide some productivity if you do increase the role.
Ryan, let's talk about the quarterback. Jordan Love played better than J.J. McCarthy, at least today, but nothing that was to jump off the page. I thought he handled the blitz packages that Minnesota threw at him pretty well today, but ultimately not a lot asked out of Jordan Love. This coming from a lot of people screaming to give more to Jordan Love, right? Let him unleash him. Let him go out. Let him take control. And Green Bay realizing very early they didn't have to do that today with Jordan Love. But what would you say about his performance against Minnesota today?
Perfectly fine. You know, I think that there's been some games this season, and certainly there will be some games the rest of this season where the Packers are going to need to unleash Jordan Love a little bit more. They're going to need to put more on his back. He had one job today, and it took very, very early in the game for him to realize the only thing he had to do was take care of the football. So long as he avoided mistakes, which he absolutely did, they were going to be fine. Because if you're going against an offense on the other side that can't get into the end zone, if you don't make things easier for them, you're going to be on the winning side. And that's what happened. So he had one job today. He handled that fine. I thought there were some key third down throws that he made, but there was so little that they actually needed from Jordan Love. I put nothing into the numbers.
Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette. One more question for you. It's about the future. Two games in a row now here after this one. So three divisional games in a row. Packers already now with their second divisional win, more than they had last season. What is the outlook looking like? Today is a short week now. Matt LaFleur said it in his presser. Today's Wednesday for them. Now they have Detroit, who played with their food a little bit against the New York Giants today. How is the outlook looking for Green Bay versus Detroit on Thursday?
It's a huge game. And don't just take my word for it. In a world of cliches, you're used to hearing nothing but cliches after a game. There's no amount of cliches that could keep Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love from telegraphing how significant this week is up ahead. During their post-game news conference inside the media room, the television still had Giants-Lions playing on both TV screens. And they were only like half paying attention to what they were saying, what was being asked. Their eyes kept flitting up to the TV during the overtime late fourth quarter to see, okay, what's happening there? Like this, they know the significance of playing Detroit. After his post game, Matt LaFleur took a detour. He stayed and he actually watched the end of overtime in the media room. They absolutely know the significance of this week, this specific opponent. And it's not for all the marbles because the Chicago Bears are still in there, but the Chicago Bears survive at home, a 3-point win today against a backup quarterback, not facing Aaron Rodgers. You look at their schedule, they have played nobody. You have to take them serious because they are 8-3. But at the same time, this does feel like a division that's still down to Detroit and Green Bay. And this is going to be a huge, huge matchup on Thanksgiving.
Huge matchup this Thursday. Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @ByRyanWood. Ryan, thank you so much. Hey, we should do this more often where we're both in good moods at the same time. And it went pretty swimmingly, I thought.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to like see a game where you can just kind of breathe a little bit,
yeah,
right? And not be exasperated.
I'm a fan of it. Ryan, have a good rest of your night, my man. Happy Sunday.
Okay, take care.
There he is, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. A few more minutes left here. We can play a little bit of Jordan Love on the other side, and we'll wrap up the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. We are live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
You got your popcorn ready.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
On three. One, two, three.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go!
It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Tommy Wirtz in the host chair for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Charlie Usen joining me as well, co-hosting the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Packers win 23-6 over the Minnesota Vikings. MVP of the game. Charlie Usen, what is your nominee for MVP of the game?
My nominee for MVP of the game is going to be Rashawn Gary. I think a lot of people called on him to step up in this one for the Green Bay Packers after having a couple silent weeks. Starting off the season as hot as he did, he came in and made an immediate impact for this Packers team against, yeah, not a great group in the Minnesota Vikings, but when they put focus on Micah Parsons, he was there, Devontae Wyatt was there, but Rashawn Gary was the one who affected the start of that fourth quarter meltdown for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll take Emmanuel Wilson then. Big day for both of them on the offensive and defensive side, where the offense, not overly impressive by any means for Green Bay, but didn't make any mistakes and did what was asked of them, it felt like, throughout this contest. Jordan Love speaking more on that after the game. Here he is after the Packers get their second NFC North victory and seventh overall victory in 2025.
It was great. It was amazing. You know, I think you hold a team to 6 points. You know, it was great. And to be able to come up with so many turnovers like that, especially in the second half, you know, it was a big-time job by everybody on the defense. And obviously, I'm not sure how many sacks we had, but, you know, they're getting after him. And so, just great job by them.
Jordan, when did you learn that during the week that Josh would be playing today?
Yeah, we found out today. You know, I think they wanted to push all the way to game time and kind of see what the status would be for him. And, yeah, I found out today.
What's your level of confidence in a guy like Emmanuel just to give him a week, with especially what he did with it?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think he obviously did a lot of great things last week. And, you know, he's the guy that we got confidence in, you know, and for him to be able to find out that as well, that Josh wouldn't be going, I think, you know, mentally he was preparing all week to be the guy, and then to find out and come out here and, you know, have over 100 yards and break off some of the runs he did was pretty cool. So, you know, great job by him and stuff to just keep building on and keep, you know, being ready for whenever that opportunity is going to present itself for him and to take advantage of the more carries he got.
All right, all you people who want an offensive package for Malik Willis, like, can we at least say Emmanuel Wilson needs to be more involved in the offense before we say Malik Willis needs to be more involved in the offense? He was phenomenal today. And Jordan Love, imagine this game working out where Jordan Love doesn't have to do anything and he's relying on Emmanuel Wilson to just continue to move things along. Like, no one saw that being the formula today, Charlie?
No, but that's how good teams win football games, is by everybody being able to go out there and impact the game, no matter who you are. We saw it with Emmanuel Wilson. You see it with Isaiah McDuffie on the defensive side of the ball. Just go out there and do your job, and anybody can go out there and do that.
More of Jordan Love.
Jordan, had you guys talked going into this game about running a ball on third down, third and three, third and four, or was that more a result of what Emmanuel was doing, you know, on those drives?
Yeah, I think some of it was just, you know, the way we were running it on early downs, and I think you just kind of keep flowing with that momentum and keep trying to pound it, and O-line was doing a great job on them, and so just keep trusting that. Obviously, defense was balling out, getting a lot of stops, so I think that plays a part in it too. But yeah, I think they're just kind of imposing their will up front, and we just got to keep rolling with that.
With how the defense was playing offensively, do you get into this mindset of if you just avoid the mistake? I know you always want to make plays, but just avoid the mistake that's going to be good enough.
Definitely. You know, I think the mindset always going into it is, like we say, winning the turnover battle. And I think we did that today. And then, like you said, you know, you get into it and defense is balling like that, coming up with stop after stop. You know, that mindset is just keep taking care of the ball. Don't make mistakes. And, you know, just keep hammering away at it and keep putting together some good drives. And we did that.
Does that ever change your thought process during a play of, okay, maybe you want to go for it here, but the defense is playing the way it is, so just be a little cautious?
Definitely, always, and especially a defense like this that, you know, you never know what you're going to get at all times with pressures and different coverages where, you know, you just got to be smart. You always got to be smart, but, you know, different situations. If you're down, obviously you'll be pushing it if it's a closer game, but with a two-score lead and defense playing like that, like I said, yeah, you definitely just got to be smart in those situations. Keep trying to do what you're doing. If a big play presents itself, you know, take it, but just be smart at the end of the day.
Jordan, I'm sure you guys are disappointed that the start of the second half you guys stalled out, but then just kind of what was the mindset, the reaction to getting the, you know, the turnover off the punt deep in their territory?
Definitely disappointing. You know, you want to be able to go out second half, get the ball and drive it down and take advantage of getting that ball back right there, and we didn't do that. And then obviously right after that, you know, getting that the ball back on the punt, you know, Zane coming up with that and putting us right there inside the 10-yard line. And, you know, those are the ones where you got to capitalize. You got to take advantage of that opportunity. And, you know, that's the complimentary ball we've been talking about, you know, taking advantage of special teams, you know, getting a turnover. And we capitalized on it. So it was great.
Jordan, on some of those third and threes, third and fours, are you just assuming or are you just counting on beating an eight-man front? Is that what you're getting, you know, in those situations? They're coming up and you just have to beat that some way or another?
Yeah, you know, we had some plays called and we're trying to take advantage of some of the things they showed earlier in the game. And, you know, sometimes they switch the calls up and we weren't getting that. And, you know, when you get that, that's when you just got to try and find a way and block the front and the running back just try and punch a hole through that and find a way to get those first. But like I said before, you know, we kind of just leaned on that running game and try to just keep going with it, keep finding ways to, you know, pick up those first downs.
Jordan, how much did the shoulder affect you today? And I say to assume that that's why you were handing off right-handed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it didn't affect me too much. You know, took a couple hits on it, but was fine for the most part. And yeah.
Let's end on that one. Jordan Love, after the game was over, our friend Andy Herman asking that question about the shoulder and his handoffs today. I was talking to Charlie Usen about this. If Jordan Love can't even hand the ball off with his left hand, and then they call a read option at one point in this ball game for him, I can't believe they did that. And I hate that he can't hand the ball off with his left hand. Should it really weigh into anything? Probably not. But it looks gross, and it looks wrong, and it feels like, Charlie, that is waiting for something wrong to happen.
Right. It feels like you're asking for a fumble at any given point here.
Right.
If Jordan Love were for some reason to go out here and get his right hand hit, because that's the one you're sticking out when you're handing the ball off like that from a defense lineman or anything like that, you're screwed. You don't have a Jordan Love then anymore. This is one of those situations there. Yeah, it's ugly, but it's beyond that. There's chance for worse to happen if you keep allowing him to do this, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm worried about that part of it. But again, Jordan Love understanding the assignment today, as you heard in his presser, just limit mistakes, faith in the defense. I think that's okay. I really do. I think that this Packers team took a step in the direction of identity, right? And that's something that we've been looking for, an offensive identity for this team, and how are they going to be able to handle it against other teams? Well, while the offense maybe didn't look overly impressive, it was the defense that leaned into identity today, and that's why you make the trade for Micah Parsons. That's why you invest so much in the first round on defense with guys like a Devontae Wyatt coming up with two sacks today, like a Rashawn Gary who gets his hand in the way of an interception. Phenomenal game. I felt like complete game. It was necessary for the Packers, and this is as good as I could have asked for, especially against Minnesota. Man, I know Charlie, the Bears fan, Chicago Charlie, whatever. Like, we can all agree that just the Minnesota Vikings, like, it feels way better beating them than it does to Chicago to me, honestly. Oh,
I think so, especially lately. The Vikings have been the cream of the crop for a majority of the past 10 years or so, it feels like, in the NFC North. It's nice to see them kind of take that tumble down, even with all the talent they have on that roster. It feels good to beat that team because that team is just struggling so bad right now.
J.J. McCarthy, and looking at, let's just look ahead at the Minnesota Vikings schedule just for fun here, because we like to have fun. They have to play the Seahawks next week. Okay.
Good luck. Have fun.
All right.
Is Jackson Smith and Jigba like 300 yards in that one?
He could. The Commanders after that, which no Jaden Daniels, but maybe.
You had J.J. McCarthy, so that might be worse than
might
no
be
Jaden.
Worse. Probably worse. Yeah, remember. Dallas, probably going to put up 700 points on them in that game. Like the Giants, who that might be a mess around and find out type moment. Like, if Jameis needs to still start. Like, I'm sorry, Jackson Dart. I know that's going to be Jackson Dart. But if it was Jameis the rest of the year, like, you're going to have fun every Sunday at least watching that game. The Lions, the Packers, are the last two games of the season. Like, man, they have what, 5 games? 5 games left. They have to win probably 3 of those for J.J. McCarthy to be safe, right? And I don't know where I see, like, that would mean they probably have to beat the NFC East. I don't know how else they would do that. So they have 6 games left, right? No, 3 games, or 5 games left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games left. Yeah, they got to go 500.
I don't think you can do that.
And I don't know how they do it. Yeah, and I like you said, JSN is a freak. We just did the math on him. He had another big day. He put up over 160 yards, 8 catches. He's on pace for over 2,000 receiving yards. He broke the Seattle Seahawks record for receiving yards in a season today.
In
11 games. It is the most that a Seahawk has put up. And, oh, by the way, the guy throwing him the football was throwing Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison the football last year for the Minnesota Vikings. If I'm Kwesi, their GM, I'm shaking in my boots right now.
Right. You had two serviceable quarterbacks in your room that all of a sudden became two of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. You had a shot. J.J. McCarthy, just, it was too shiny. You wanted to play with your new toy, and now he's the most broken toy ever. He's like a Dollar Tree toy at this point, dude.
Danny Jones loses today, however, to the Chiefs. That game was crazy in the early slate. The Chiefs, man, they're just inevitable, and they're 6-5. You know they're just going to sneak around and then do something crazy in January like they do every year now. The Colts fall in that one. We brought it up already. The Lions 34-27 over the New York Giants in an insane Jameis Winston game where he threw a touchdown pass on a reverse. He caught a touchdown pass in like some pretty more impressive yard after the catch than Luke Musgrave has ever had.
He was so aggressive on that run. It was awesome.
Literally,
it got me fired up.
I would try Jameis at tight end 2 when Tucker Kraft comes back before I would try Luke Musgrave again.
He played with Taysom Hill. Maybe that's where he learned that. There you go, Tommy.
Yeah. Seahawks, as we were talking about JSN, they win 30-24 over the Titans today. The Ravens, 23-10 over the Jets. Tyrod Taylor was playing in that one. The Bears, man. Charlie, they just keep doing this. They just keep finding dumb ways to win and lucky situations. It was Mason Rudolph, not Aaron Rodgers, at quarterback today. And the Bears now 8-3 after a 3-point victory over Pittsburgh.
Win, baby, win. That's all you need. That's all you need out there. And that's a team that has a lot of weapons that's using all their weapons to win football games. They look like just a well-coached team.
Patriots, 6-point win over the Bengals. The Browns currently up on the Raiders. The Cardinals up on the Jaguars right now. Eagles up 21-7 over Dallas. And the Falcons are leading the Saints as of right now, too. Buccaneers-Rams is Sunday night football tonight. And then tomorrow, Niners-Panthers.
Oh, fun.
Gross. No interest in that one.
Christian McCaffrey revenge game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a little storyline there.
Yeah, maybe. That's not a bad call. Well, the Packers won today, all right? And it's been I've been waiting for a game like this where you can say, hey, thanks for that one. My Sunday is better. I thought, hey, we're going to get out of here early today because it's an early game, and it's just pitch black outside still. So it feels like it's nighttime. Thank you, Charlie, for helping out today. Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Lakeland University. Packers win 23-6 over the Vikings. Tune in tomorrow, 6 a.m. Hear more from Inside Wisconsin Sports and the rest of the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network lineup. Have a good one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.